Chicago Cubs.
Cubs win. Cubs win the ball game.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station.
The Score! This hour and this segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Baseball.
Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce has the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend Bruce Levine. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I guess class is in session. You're grading the White Sox and Cubs. Is that correct?
It's mid-semester, so I figured it might not be a bad idea. Are you in the grading mode, Bruce?
I'm always grading
Professor
on you,
Levine.
I'm grading on your nerves most of the time.
That's true. Well played. Well played.
I don't love giving grades, but I like giving percentages. The Cubs are on a percentage track of 96 wins. The White Sox are on a percentage track of 54. 54 is better than last year was, what was it, 41 games last year, right?
Yes.
So I think we talked over the winter many times about a 10 or 15 game improvement would be good. Not satisfying, but good, Mully?
I appreciate some of the scrappiness that they show. I appreciate... I was saying to David, like, you know, Tauchman changes their lineup. Had he been able to play all year, had you know, Luis Robert Jr. not been as bad as he was, they just need someone who can maybe run into it, like any hint of power. And they haven't had that for most of the year. But Tauchman, did he go 3-for-4 yesterday? He just seems like, it seems like they have a better record. I'd love to look it up with him in the lineup versus the whatever 30 games he's missed. They just look like a different team to me.
He's a really underrated hitter, okay? He really is, because if you remember back to the Cubs' woes of last May and June, he was the only guy that was having good at-bats, walking, seeing a lot of pitches, getting hits. He was their best player, and that was one of the reasons why they fell so far behind in May and June last year. But he's a really good player, an underrated player, and somebody that brings out the best. When you have him at the top of the order, we've talked about it for a couple of years now, when you have him at the top of the order, sees a lot of pitches. You know, the other players, particularly the young guys with the White Sox, get to watch him, get to see the other guy's pitches, and he can wear pitchers out. So from that perspective, you know, a very good pickup for the Chicago White Sox. The soft tissue issues have kept him from playing the full schedule so far.
Bruce, let's talk about the Cubs for a moment. 13-13, a .500 team in the month of June. They have not, as you pointed out on X, won a series against a winning team and since late April, and yet I don't know that it's time to panic, and I don't know that you need to overreact. How would you assess where they are in relation to the other good teams in the National League?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question, because for the first, up until June, I think people were saying, well, you know, Milwaukee and St. Louis are not going to be a factor. And, you know, over the last 10 games, Milwaukee's won 8 out of 10, St. Louis 7 out of 10, Cubs are 4 out of 6. So they've made up an awful lot of ground. Milwaukee's made up a ton of ground. So they are a factor, and they are decent teams. I think the reevaluation of the National League Central has to take place. You know, the other divisions are becoming a little bit wonkier, and I think there's a really good chance more than one team is going to come out of the National League Central to be in the playoff picture. So from all of that, I think what you bring up is really essential. Are the Cubs playing the game of being better themselves or being better than Milwaukee and St. Louis, right? So the best version of themselves going into the last 80 games to try to be one of the best teams going into the playoffs, or just beating out Milwaukee and St. Louis? Those are question marks for Hoyer and company when they look at the trade market here and decide how to and who to add.
Bruce, we had a conversation about Colson Montgomery earlier today because he has done well at AAA Charlotte in the last four games. I think he's got three home runs and six RBI, and that's in the last four games. And I hate to ask it this way, but we've been waiting for him to kind of get his act together. I almost feel like if you don't bring him up now when he's hot, that there's no place for him at the end. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that he'll ever get up. If you don't get him up this year, I'm not sure what to do with him moving forward. And if he has, like, another slump, I just feel like right now could be a time to bring the guy up and just see what he can do. And I'm not saying that it's good enough where he's at or anything like that. I'm just saying the alternative of being faced with sending him to Arizona again in the offseason, and he's going to play. At some point, he's got to be able to succeed. Why not just bring him up and give him a look?
Molly, why don't you just say it? Let's find out if he's a washout or not.
There right? you go.
I mean, that's pretty much where you're going here. You're being polite about it. But the idea that they put a lot of time into him, he's still a young player, but you get tired of hearing about he's still a young player. We were talking about last year him coming up in June, in August or September, and making a contribution. Three injuries this year. He's been unfortunate getting hit by a pitch a few times. But I'm with you. It's like it's All-Star game time. I think there's the other young players around him that are good enough. They still have the veterans around him. It's like let's see what he's got. If he's ready defensively, when all indications are he's okay there, bring him up. Let him play shortstop every day for the White Sox.
So, Bruce, last week we saw Ben Brown have a bad start and get demoted for the Cubs. Then we saw Cade Horton really have his first bad outing of the season against the Astros. How did that affect, if at all, the urgency with which Jed Hoyer is approaching the search for a top-of-the-rotation starter? And how do you need to adjust maybe the timeline because of what is available and what teams are willing to part with at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, there's only very few that are willing to part. We talked last week about how the Cubs were close to getting Mitch Keller from Pittsburgh, and, you know, that deal fell apart. There aren't a lot of the, you know, we went over it on Sunday. There's probably 16, 18 teams that feel they're still in the race. And, you know, when they say it's a seller's market, it means that teams are not willing to trade one of their top pitchers at this point for a number of reasons. One, they think they're in it. Two, they don't want to put up that red flag to their fan base saying, you know, we surrender the rest of the year. No reason for you to come out. There's a lot of reasons why teams aren't trading their pitchers yet. And I think a few of them will. Are they going to be difference makers? Are you looking for big difference makers? The Cubs are going to be certainly involved in pitching, but they have to get a right-handed hitter. Okay, they're out there looking, you know, at, you know, players like Ryan McMahon of the Colorado Rockies, and Suarez if he becomes available from Arizona, Tyler Ward with Angels, you know, guys that can provide some pop and also defense at third base to replace Shaw if he doesn't hit. Now, Shaw has been outstanding defensively, but you know, the hit tool is just not where it needs to be right now.
Yeah, it's tough because the priority should be pitching, starting pitching. It's just like you don't want to go out of sequence in a weird way. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I mean, you have guys that aren't hitting right
now.
I mean,
you do.
You have like Hap. Hap had a bad weekend, 185 with, 161 with a homer and five RBIs. PCA, yep, in a slump for a week. One homer and zero homers, one RBI, hitting 185. So the, you know, some of their players are just, you know, they're not hitting the ball the way they have before. Is it a part of better pitching that they're facing, or just the ebb and flow of a major league season? It's easy to pick apart a week or 10 days. These have been outstanding players that have helped the Cubs get to where they're at, but they're certainly looking to add. You know, the question is, you know, what are they going to add? And are the White Sox going to be able to move Luis Robert now on the IL, hopefully coming off maybe by the end of next week? Will there be enough time for him to continue to show improvement and get moved? Teams like Philadelphia is still kicking the tires on Luis Robert. So we'll see what's going on over the next week or 10 days. He's got a month till the trading deadline now.
We talked about it Saturday a little bit on Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce, but it happened again, and I want to be fair here. Craig Counsell has been a big reason why the Cubs are where they are. I love the way he manages his emotions and the personalities in that clubhouse, and I like most of the buttons that he pushes on a regular basis.
Bad game.
But when Valdez is on the mound, a lefty, you know you're not going to see Michael Bush, and you know that you're going to have Dansby Swanson batting fourth. That's not a good combination, and I just wonder how long this not against lefties Michael Bush thing is going to go on.
Well, you know, again, you've looked at the numbers. We looked at the numbers. They're not good, right, against lefties, yeah, right? So that convolutes it. That's all the more reason why they need a right-handed bat, a guy that can play third, maybe third and first, right? So, you know, you're not, you know, as much as everybody loves Turner, you know, you're not getting any pop, any slug out of him at all. So, you know, there's a couple of areas where they can go. They're really not getting much out of their bench. So with that in mind, you know, you're going to need more hitting. But I think Counsell just, you know, it was a bad game for him yesterday. And I think he's among, if not the best manager in baseball. There's very few times this year that I think anybody could argue with the way that he went about it. I think, you know, leaving, you know, his starting pitcher in yesterday was a mistake at 107 pitches. You know, just, I know what he was trying to do. You know, that he had gotten Altuve out, struck him out twice. But, you know, again, this one didn't work out. And I think if he had to take it back, he would do it over again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, J-Mo, what was it, 31 pitches against one player in that game? That'll ruin you. And he seemed tired at that point, and I don't know.
Mike, there's nothing to prove there, right?
Yes.
Tommy Hotovy comes out and says, okay, this is your last hitter. Here's how we're going to approach him. What's the point? The bullpen is going to have to go four innings anyway, right? There's no way around it. You know, it's the fifth inning. So, you know, a fresh arm there. But again, it's the ultimate second guess. Would I want a manager other than Craig Counsell running the Cubs? Absolutely not. I think he's done a fabulous job.
Miguel Amaya is on the road back. Apparently he could be back before the All-Star break. He's resumed baseball activities.
Yeah. As far as I don't think anybody could complain about Reese McGuire and what he's done to replace Amaya. I think it's been pretty outstanding, hasn't it? I mean, the guy has five home runs, a lot of big hits, defensively has done the job. So as much as they need Amaya and they miss him, you know, all credit due to McGuire and the way that Counsell has used both McGuire and Kelly to intersperse, keeping both guys fresh.
Just a couple of the bullpen guys from the Sox. I thought that Grant Taylor was spectacular, and Adrian Hauser pitched great, by the way. But they actually won a game 1-0. It was amazing to see, and I think that Grant Taylor was just excellent in that moment. Then you get to the next game, and here comes Mike Vassell, who they described as a a Swiss Army knife because he can open a game, he can pitch innings in the middle of a game, and in this case he came in with the bases loaded and induced a double play and then got a save, his second save of the year. So it's like both those young pitchers really had a spectacular showing over the weekend as the White Sox managed to win a series against the Giants.
Well, Taylor, you know, we're going to start hearing about, gee, why are you using him in the bullpen? Why is he a closer with that arm, right? I mean, every Sox fan is going to say, that's a big arm. You know, why aren't you using it to extend out and be one of the main starting pitchers? And I think in spring training, that'll be the number one priority for the White Sox is to decide, you know, whether Taylor continues to be a dominant closer, which he appears he can be. He's certainly not there yet, but with that stuff and the makeup that the kid has, you know, there's really no reason to think he won't continue on that track. But when you look at, you know, what the needs are and you have this big arm, you're going to be very tempted to say, look, we have to stretch him out. He's got to be a starting pitcher. I doubt that we'll hear anything in spring training other than, hey, we're stretching all of our pitchers out, and whatever they are at the end of March, that's what they'll be. And I think Taylor will be the primary subject and object of everybody's attention as we move forward. But that's a great arm, great breaking ball. I mean, you know, the sky should be the limit for him. As far as, you know, you brought up, you know, the idea of other pitchers and the availability of some of the veterans for the White Sox being available in trades. No reason why the Cubs can't look at White Sox pitchers, right?
Okay.
Adrian Hauser or maybe Savale? Come on.
Is that not sexy enough for you, David?
No, he doesn't play
I don't know, Bruce. I think
because
Adrian Hauser.
Because he's a White Sox pitcher?
Because he was in the minor leagues not too long ago.
I just look at it, Bruce. I agree. Seven starts have been very impressive. And hearing Stoney call him a number two quality starter yesterday on hit and run was interesting and telling. I just wonder, seven games, he's been in the majors for 9 years, and nobody, I think, before this year has been like, I need Adrian Hauser to get us over the top. It was just, I think your sights can be higher than that if you're Jed Hoyer.
I agree. But, you know, we talked about Sandy Alcantara and the problem he had the last time out. Six runs, short outing. You know, are you really trading top of your young players, your best minor leaguers, for a chance on him coming back to being the pitcher that he is? What great pitcher is going to be out there available? I think that's what you have to ask yourself as they look here to establish some more starting pitching in the rotation.
And frankly, Bruce, I'm not even talking about like Owen Casey. Give me whatever minor league guy is blocked by him, and he could
Mully
start for the White Sox.
Mully thinks that Kevin Alcantara could start right now for the White Sox.
Yes, yes.
I wouldn't hesitate. What would David? What would be the hesitation?
Kevin Alcantara for Adrian Hauser?
No,
Alcantara is starting every day for the White Sox.
I think that probably you're right. I think
You act like I'm an idiot.
No, Mully, I'm not acting like you're an idiot.
And then you think about he could.
No, I'm not acting like you're an idiot. I don't know if I think the crosstown thing is maybe the one thing that gives me pause.
I agree, David. I understand. You know, the White Sox aren't looked at, the players aren't looked at it at the same level, but there's plenty of good players on the White Sox that are making their way up and trying to reestablish themselves. So it's worth a look, that's for sure.
Bruce, I want to go back to Grant Taylor for a second because it's my understanding that Brian Bannister did answer that question of why not a starter. And it was kind of this idea that the way that he pitches and the extension he has going forward, he could damage his arm. That they want to be careful because it's an elite arm and he can do things that remind him of other closers. I'm with you. There's no doubt that him as a starter would be a more valuable pitcher, but it's almost like I felt that way about Chris Sale, and then obviously he became a starting pitcher, and we've seen that happen before on the South Side. Crochet is another example of it, but both those guys have been through injury. I'm just wondering if they see something, and Bannister is willing to tell you whatever thought he has. I thought he was very transparent about it. Is that a bad thing to say? I meant it as a compliment.
Look,
he's not afraid to tell you the truth.
We all have been covering baseball for a long time. No one yet has documented to me a pitcher with good mechanics and a strong arm doesn't benefit from throwing the baseball, okay? More throwing, right? More pitching. There's never been any case for we know this guy's going to hurt himself if he continues to pitch this way. If they have that kind of data, the guy shouldn't be throwing at all, right? I mean,
fair enough.
You can injure yourself just as quickly in one or two innings as you can trying to pitch five or six. So strong arm, keep throwing, great mechanics. This is a really exciting young player. It's their guy. I know there maybe the idea is we're trying to save him until we're better to be a starter.
Right.
If you want to use that philosophy. Yeah, I don't know if you can really do that or not.
Would you say, if I'm hearing you correctly, I think what I'm hearing is Grant Taylor greater than sign Paul Skeens. That's what you're saying, basically, right?
Greater than, say that again.
Grant Taylor greater than sign Paul Skeens, his old college teammate.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he's better than Skeens, is what you're
saying. No, I'm not saying that.
I hear you saying
that's not
better than Skeens.
Yeah, that's not going on X. No. We're not aggregating that. We're not going to bring it back and throw it in your face 10 days later. No.
No. That's not going there on X. But he is a fabulous arm, and you know, there are comps. You know, no doubt about it. The guy has a terrific arm. I'm just excited to see good White Sox players out there staying in ball games. You know, watching guys like Teal progress, guys like Quirrell playing well, the third baseman Valdez playing pretty well. So it's a better quality of games. They're still losing way too many games, but the White Sox are watchable in 2025, which they weren't last year.
Great stuff, Bruce. Enjoy the day off.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys, take care.